Hey, we need to pray at all times, day and night. Day and night for the conference and for the ones under our care. B, we need to observe the young people during the meetings and in the group times to see what kind of condition they are in and what kind of response they might have. This is very important. We should be full of eyes observing them. See, we need to seek opportunities to shepherd some of the young people personally and privately through private talks. So there'll be opportunities together with them, but then also at the right time, there may be the need to take some out of the cabin or aside during the recreation time to have a private time with them to help them experience something of the Lord. E, we need to have a strong and released... Oh, I'm sorry, D. We need to support during the messages by praying for the speaking brothers, for the burden of the message, and for a prevailing gospel atmosphere. So in the meeting, you need to be there praying. Pray for the brothers speaking, for the burden of the message. Pray for the atmosphere. It could be a sanctified atmosphere. Pray for the Spirit to be there in the speaking, that the Spirit would convict these sixth graders. Saints, we need the prayer. I know as one of the brothers who speak, we need the serving one's prayer to help the burden to get released. Also, when we're in the meeting, this practical word, we need to be listening, we need to be enjoying, we need to be praying, and we need to be watching. Okay, so you need to be like Christ, right, with the seven eyes of the Lamb, right? You need eyes at the front on the speaker. You need eyes out the side, at the back, to be watching around, right? To see, and you may even need to be praying for certain ones in the meeting. Then also, we need to take care of the atmosphere in the meeting. And these are sixth graders, right? They're what, 12, 13 years old? This is their first conference. They're so excited.
Okay, we need to be an example to them of how to sing. Right, then after we sing, we might have a couple of them stand up with us and realign or declare a line. We become a pattern to them. And then a little personal note here. When they're sitting in the meeting, we know they're only 12 and 13. And the messages, we try to keep them to around 45 minutes or so. But we know they're going to tune in and tune out, right, during the 45 minutes. And they should have a pen. Because they should learn that you should have a pen in the meeting, and that if you get touched by something, you write down what you were touched so that later you can remember. But of course, if they're sitting in the meeting with a pen and a piece of paper, they're going to doodle. Right? They're going to doodle. Don't rebuke them for doodling, okay? If they start drawing, you know, the girls will draw flowers and hearts and things like that. You know, and sometimes I'm speaking and I'm there and I see the brothers on the front row and, you know, It's okay. Even my daughter went last year, and she was a good sixth grader, memorized the verses, she got up and gave testimonies, and then she came home and I got to see her book. There were notes, and there was doodling. There were hearts and flowers, but it's okay. But, only to the point, it's not distracting others. Okay? Only to the point, it's not distracting. If it's just them doodling, that's okay, right? But if they start, you know, doodling like this, right? Or like this, and or then they start playing some tic-tac-toe or, okay, whatever kids do, right? That's where they just need a little help, right? You know, not now, you know, keep listening. And then you need to be praying for them, right? Praying for them. They could stay awake. They could stay open. Okay. So this is practical, how we help
how we help the atmosphere of the meeting. It's not just our praying. It's not just our being a pattern, but even helping them not to become a distraction during the meeting. Okay, E. We need to have a strong and released spirit, but not dominating. Okay? It's a sixth grade conference, right? It's not a parents and serving ones conference. So we need to exercise our spirit to be an example, a pattern, to help draw out their spirit, but not too much, not to dominate the time. We should hear the sixth graders singing, right? We should hear the sixth graders declaring, not just the serving ones there. Okay, so we need to have a strong and released spirit, especially during the singing times. F, we need to maintain a rich supply of grace by having our own fresh and living contact with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to be up there, but first of all, we need to be saved. We need to be saved from being there in ourselves. And the best way to be saved from ourselves is to touch the Lord.
Amen.
Enjoy the Lord His grace.
Amen.
And actually, if we do that, we won't minister ourselves to them. We'll be ministering the one that we're enjoying.
Amen.
We'll minister grace to these ones. So saints, it's a busy weekend, right? We'll all come back tired, but we'll all come back full of joy.
Amen.
Because we'll be there taking care of enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 3. Our serving, we can read the bold together. Our serving at the conferences must be in a coordinated and blended way, even as a corporate net, that the young people could be gained by the Lord. Okay, this is it's very important. We have to go in one accord. We have to go in a coordinated way. So we'll read through the points here. A, I'll read these to you. There is the need for adequate forethought, preparation, and coordination before. Not on the way up, not at, before the conference. One, there needs to be coordination and prayer in one accord with the other serving ones before the conference. Even ask the whole church to pray for the conference. A, there should be prayer for each young person and serving one attending the conference. There should be prayer and fellowship concerning the assignments of the young people and serving ones for the small groups. This is very practical. In the small groups, there may be the need to separate some sixth graders. There may be some that when they're together, they can't help but to be a little giggly or giddy or funny. And for this weekend, there may be the need through the coordination, the consideration, to separate these ones, to put them in a different group so that they have the opportunity to be touched by the Lord without worrying about their friends. Right? So this has to come from your kind of coordination, your kind of consideration together. And this should be before we go. C, there should be much prayer for the coordinating and speaking brothers. I think us brothers who bear that can just say amen.
Amen.
We need much prayer. How to bring the word to a level that can be received by these ones, still have the spirit and still have the impact during this time. Two, there should be forethought and preparation before leaving for the conference. A, read through the rules and regulations with the young people prior to the conference. Are we all aware of this?
Yes.
Are we aware there are rules and regulations?
Right.
Those rules and regulations are for the preservation of the atmosphere at this conference. We are going up to the mountains. The principle is we are going to get away. To get away from the distractions,
amen,
from the worldly occupations. So when we go to get away, we don't want to bring along with us the things that distract us. So there are the rules and regulations. Please read through these with all the sixth graders before they go so they know what not to pack and so that you don't have a fight with some of them before. They already know. They already know not to bring the cell phone, not to bring the iPod Touch, not to bring these things. And I know right away some are asking, well, what about the hymnal and the Bible? I tell you, Do not bring the iPod Touch. If they have their Bible and hymnal, then get them a plain old-fashioned paper Bible and a paper hymnal. Okay? In fact, for most of the songs, they're going to be, there's a song book, but we also use the hymnal. I would just encourage, I'm sure their parents still have a Bible and a hymnal, right? That's printed. Bring that, because even though they say, well, my Bible and hymnal are on there, there are a lot of other things on there. And they will not be able to help themselves. No matter how much they promise you, I promise I won't play the game, I won't do they won't be able to help themselves. Remember, they're sinners. They need to be saved, right? That's why we're going. So, it may seem strict. Well, we need to be strict for the sake of the whole, for the sake of the atmosphere. And we rely on you serving ones to take care of this. And the best thing is just don't have it up there. If it's not up there, it's not a problem. If you discover something that's mistakenly brought along, then you just hold on to it for the weekend. And you can lock it in your glove compartment of your car or secure it somewhere. Just take care of that. Okay? B, make sure no one brings any of their prohibitive items to the conference. Knives. We're going to the mountains. Some boys are dreaming of encountering a bear, no doubt. Probably want to bring their pocket knife or hunting knife. I did when I was that age. And my dad had to confiscate it when he found it. Electronic devices, and this is very important, improper clothing. We're going up there to be sanctified. We want an atmosphere for the word to be spoken. Even their clothing needs to be proper. C, do not bring anyone to the conference that will be a distraction or a problem to the conference. Okay, we need to fellowship. This point here is important. Again, these points we fellowship, it's for the sake of the whole, for the sake of the atmosphere. There are some situations where it may be better for certain ones not to come to the conference. Some examples. Sometimes in a locality, a new family may just come into the church life, and they have a sixth grader. Then they also have a ninth or tenth grader. Or maybe the parents aren't saved. And so then the brother's saying, oh, this is great. Let's send everybody to the sixth grade conference, and we'll get them all saved at one time. Well, that becomes a distraction. That becomes a distraction in the sixth grade conference to have a 10th grader or 11th grader, to have a mom or dad there that are there to, you know, be saved. The sixth grade conference is not the only place where people get saved, right? Amen. They can get saved in the home meetings and other ways. So in this situation, you know, our feeling is no. Now, maybe there's a family where they just came to the church life and they have a 7th grader. That's okay. That's 6th, 7th grade, very close together. Probably wouldn't even know, right, who's a 6th grader, who's a 7th grader. That wouldn't become so much of a distraction. Also, we love all our children. We want all our children to be saved. But some of our children, some of the children of the saints, do have behavioral problems. Some of them do. And we still love them, we still care for them. But for some of them, they may not be able to actually sit in a meeting for 45 minutes and be quiet. It's just, they can't do it. And then what happens, they become a big, big distraction. So there may need to be the consideration and the coordination that it's better, perhaps, for this one not to come to the weekend. Now, there are other cases where they just need a little bit of a shepherding hand, and they're okay. So for those kind of cases, they have been able to come, but the reason why they're able to come to the conference is because they are assigned a full-time shepherd, right? For most of the kids, it's a ratio. Is it 1 to 3? Yeah. Right? There's one shepherd per 3 sixth graders, and for most cases, that's adequate to provide the shepherding. But there may be a particular case, right, where with the right positive reinforcement of behavior, they would be able to make it the entire weekend. And that, dear one, needs a one-to-one ratio, right? They need a shepherd that is assigned to them the whole time. And, well, a child conductor. Very good. But you all have to fellowship this. We can't do it. Okay? You all know the situations with these ones. You have to have the thorough fellowship and consideration. And for some, it may be fine. They can come, give them a child conductor. For others, you may realize even if you put a serving one with them, they just do not know how to behave properly. And they will be a distraction to the other sixth graders and also to the serving ones and even possibly to the atmosphere of the meeting. And we have had some situations where the feeling has been to have this one not go, not go. So again, saints, we look to you in our laboring together to help us take care of the atmosphere and to have this kind of consideration concerning the ones who go. Amen? Okay, D, the transportation needs forethought and planning. All the drivers should be confident, mature drivers who can handle all kinds of weather-related driving conditions. And he can even handle driving on freeways and driving on mountain roads. Even though we're going to Oak Glen, it's not that far up the mountain. It's relatively an easy drive. But there is a short stretch of windy roads. We should make sure all our drivers didn't just get their license yesterday, right? Right? But make sure they have a license, right? And that they are experienced. And even charge the parents. If you want your child to go and you're not going as a serving one, you may need to be a driver. You may need to go up Friday night and then come back Lord's Day to bring the children home. Okay, E. Plan to leave early enough to register at the camp before 7 p.m. on Friday night. To miss or arrive late to the first meeting is a great loss to the young people. So we should do our best to try to leave early enough from our localities to get there before the first meeting starts. Amen. First meeting we'll see in a minute, the whole purpose is to open them. Yes. Open them so that Saturday morning we can go straight to the gospel. So we hope that all of them would be there Friday night to get the opening word. Okay, B. There are some general principles for the small group times. Okay, this is outside of the meeting times. There'll be times in the small groups. There'll be verses for them to memorize. There'll be excerpts from the ministry for them to read. One, be exercised in your spirit to be living and vital, not dead and boring. Be very sensitive to their needs and condition. Do not overburden them. Okay, they're not full-time trainees. They are sixth graders. B, be the proper patterns and examples. If the serving ones are touched by the Lord's word and the message, then you know the young people are also touched. When you're in the meeting and you sense a particular anointing from the Spirit on the point, you have to also realize that Spirit is anointing them too. And when we go back to the cabin, we may need to give the word a further way to operate in them by bringing up that point, to fellowship, to have them speak about this, how they were touched by it. Three, the cabin time should be a mutual time to support the burden of the message and to help the young people contact the Lord in a definite way. A, pray read quickly through the verses for pray reading. Okay, just, they're young. They're just learning to exercise the Spirit. Just, we don't have to spend 5-10 minutes in one verse. Just help them to pray read, go through quickly, just so they can touch their spirit, touch something in the Word. B, read through the ministry reading portion and go through the discussion questions and help them pray simple prayers. Do not feel obligated to do everything on the sheet. It's okay if you don't finish everything. Use what helps you reach the goal. Do not dominate. Did we see that? Do not dominate the time, but create an atmosphere of opening with the questions or sharing by the young people. D, the serving ones have to be exercised not to dominate the group time, but in a pleasant way draw out the speaking of all those in the group. Saints, I have two words here, short and simple. Short and simple. Remember, they've already sat through a 45-minute message. They don't need another 30-minute message from the serving ones. If they're touched by something, if they open up something, if they ask you a question, then you need to respond. But keep it short and keep it simple. Short and simple. The whole goal is to help them experience the Lord related to this matter of salvation. It's not to give them another word, to expound something of the truth to them. So if we could just remember this, short and simple. If you're going to respond, may these words ring in your ears. Keep it short. Amen. Keep it simple. Amen. Okay, four. We have to help the ones in our cabin go to bed at the scheduled time so they will be fresh for the meetings on the following day. I think that applies to the sixth graders and also to us, right? It's a lot of labor this weekend. So we need to make sure we get to bed on time, and we need to help these sixth graders get to bed on time so they're fresh in the morning for the morning meetings. Okay, Roman numeral 4, we'll go through this, and then at the end we can have a little bit of time for some questions from you all regarding to this. So Roman numeral 4, we'll just go through and we'll look at the progression. There is a progression in the messages and the burden for the weekend. And so we like to go through this so that we're in one accord together and laboring together. A, the Friday night message is an opening message. It's titled, "Where Are You? Hiding from God." This message will call them to open themselves to the Lord for the weekend with a short word on our need to be seeking the Lord. B, the Saturday morning meeting is the first gospel message. Where are you? Dead in sins. This message will present the need for redemption. After this message, we will give our first call for salvation, giving them all a chance to respond and receive the Lord. So Friday night, the emphasis is to show them that they need to not hide from the Lord. Even it shows them that you cannot hide from the Lord and that you need to be open. Then Saturday morning, the whole burden of the message is for them to see that they are a sinner, that they have sins, and that because of them being a sinner, there is God's judgment. And then along with the matter of there being God's judgment, there is the way of salvation. Amen. So our burden in that message is that each one of them would be strongly convicted concerning their own sin. And there's a desperate need, once you're convicted of your sin, to be led Amen. To the Savior. So after the speaking, we will have a call for any of the sixth graders, and we ask them to stand up. We feel this is very good for them at the beginning of their Christian life to learn to lose their face, to stand up. We have everybody have their eyes down and their eyes closed, but we have a strong call that if anyone had been touched concerning their matter of sin and concerning the matter of judgment and wants to receive salvation, they should stand up. And at that point, when they stand up, at that point, you need to be ready. Because what we do is we have the serving ones take them out one by one. Take them outside to find a place where you could be with them one on one. And during this time, it's even good if you could be there on your knees with them and have them on their knees and have them tell you, what were you touched with? Even I like to ask them, what were you touched with? What is it that you want to be saved from? And many times they will confess something. I was touched that because I've told lies, I now I'm under God's judgment, or because I disobeyed my parents. Then once they open that, then use that to help them pray a prayer for salvation. Right. To pray specifically for the very thing that they were touched with. It's better not to be general. Don't just take them out and say, oh, this is wonderful. How about right now we just pray and then you pray a general prayer? I'm not saying they wouldn't be saved, but for their help, for them, the burden is for them to have a definite experience, an undeniable experience, so that when they go back, it's not that they just went along with the crowd. It's not that they just did what everybody else did, but they themselves knew they were bothered. They were convicted about this matter, and they went outside and they prayed to the Lord about this through the help of the serving one, and they know they have been saved. This is the burden. We want each of them to have this experience with the Lord. So when they stand up, you have to be ready. You have to have a coordination. Even ahead of time, this should be the preparing. Who will go with who? If so-and-so stands up, even who would be better to go with a particular one? I know some of the parents will go. In some situations, the parents may not be the right one. May not be. If the child goes out with the parent, the child may not open up, may not confess that very thing they're being convicted by because they're afraid. Well, parents need this kind of coordination with the other serving ones. Maybe in some cases it's okay. The parent could go. But there may be certain cases it's better not. It's better not. As a parent, sometimes you need to realize it's better to have a serving one go. So we need to go outside with them, help them have a definite experience of salvation. And we will keep doing this. So when you go out, keep it short, okay, not too long. Bring them back in. Then take, if there's still one standing, take those out. And we will keep singing and keep them occupied until we see that every single one of them who has stood up has the opportunity to go out to have this kind of definite experience with the Lord. Okay, I'll read the points under B. One, we will make some arrangement for them to go and pray with a serving one. We want all the young ones to pray personally with a serving one. We even recommend that you pray with them on your knees together. Two, we will use the rest of the morning to pray with as many as responded. Saturday morning will be our primary gospel time. Our prayer and hope is that after Saturday morning, we would have the assurance every single sixth grader is saved. So before going, you should know which ones have been saved and which ones haven't already been saved. And then when we're up there, any that have not yet been saved, our burden, those ones would be saved. And many times, all of them are saved by the end of the Saturday morning time. Three, the designated serving ones should be ready to rise quickly. We have to move quickly. I believe the enemy still operates. Even ones who are right there, ready, if there's too much of a delay, they may sit back down. We need to move quickly. And begin to go out with the young people when the call is first given. Four, keep good records of your time with the young people. Do we have a little record card?
Yeah, cards.
We have cards that we will give out up there to the serving ones. So make sure you bring a pen, and after your time, you could just provide a brief record of what took place. Just so we all know, every morning at 6:30, we want all the serving ones to come down to the meeting place where we can have a time Saturday morning and Lord's Day morning to pray together and have some fellowship and coordination together about the coming day. So please make sure all the serving ones are ready and prepared to be there. The children don't have to arise till 7. So in some situations, the serving ones are comfortable. They all come at 6:30. Then at 5 to 7, one will go back to the cabin to help the sixth graders. If there are some situations where you don't feel you can leave them alone for that 30 minutes, then one serving one can stay back to take care of the cabin. But the rest of the serving ones should come 6:30 in the morning, Saturday and Lord's Day, for the prayer and the fellowship and the coordination together. And that that will be the time we'll take care of a lot more of the details of what we need to do in the morning meeting and the evening meeting. Okay, C. In the Saturday night meeting, we will give our second strong gospel message. It has to be strong because there is a tide of the age, and we need to speak against the tide of the age. The title is, Where Are You Without Hope in the World? This message will focus on the strong tide and current of the age and the need to escape the coming judgment, flood, by getting into the ark, Christ. After this message, we will give our second and final call with the same instructions as in the morning meeting. And if there are any who did not get saved in the morning, we all need to be praying and petitioning during the afternoon and the evening meeting that each one, by the end of Saturday night, has been saved. D. Finally, in the Lord's Day morning meeting, we will end the conference on a positive note. Where are you? In the kingdom of God, the church.
Amen.
So we show them that they were hiding. We show them they were a sinner. We show them they were without hope. And then we showed them Christ as their Savior. And now we want to send them home knowing not only about Christ as their Savior, but knowing about the church.
Amen.
That when they go home, they're no longer children in children's meaning. But when they go home, they realize they're now part of the church.
Amen.
I know Tom will share a little bit more about this, the need to bring the ones who once were just merely our children, now to bring them where we realize they are members of the body of Christ. The church is their home too, not just the place or the home of their parents. So D, finally in the, picking up from the second sentence, this meeting will present to them the need for baptism, terminating the past and separation from the world, and living in the church life by all the life practices. In this matter of baptism, this also should be coordinated prior to going up. I hope the serving ones and the leading ones in the localities are considering that when would be the right time after the sixth grade conference for the sixth graders to get baptized. And I know many localities like to have the sixth graders be baptized in front of the church. And that's, many places it's done on a Lord's Day morning. Well, that needs to be coordinated. When? When? And prior to the baptism, it's good if each one of them could receive a visitation to have some fellowship concerning the matter of baptism and even be helped to write out their testimony of why they want to be baptized. And the baptism should take place quickly, not too long after the sixth grade mountain trip. But again, this has to be done and taken care of in the localities. Amen. Do we have a few minutes we could have questions? Okay, are there any questions that you have regarding this coming weekend? And then maybe all of us can help answer that. Okay, we'll go this way. How about that? Okay. Okay. Styling.
Well, this is actually the function of the serving ones has to be that they, we have to put our foot down a little bit and just say, okay, before we go to the meeting, that immediately after the meeting, we're going to have a little cabin time. And then after that, take a quick shower. But, sometimes we just have to work with what we've got, with the best that we have. But I think we should try. We should try to be a little more forceful and just say, okay, let's don't do this. The showers, you know, clean up and get ready for bed after. But let's have 15 or 20 minutes to pray before we do that. Just try to be a little more forceful. Yeah, go ahead.
You said to be there by 7 on Friday night. What is the earliest you can arrive if you're trying to gauge traffic and dinner?
Yeah, it takes about 2 hours or maybe 2.5 on a Friday afternoon to get there to Oak Glen. It's about maybe an hour or 45 minutes quicker than in Getty. You probably should. You mean what time should you leave here? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think the YCAT serving ones will be leaving about noon or 1, and we'll be getting there by 3. So, yeah, actually, that's best. They get there, they can walk around and explore a little bit and get settled in. That's really the best. So you get there a couple hours early. You'll need to take them down to get some dinner for them because no dinner will be served. But down in Yucaipa, there's, you know, Carl's Jr. and fast food. Yes.
For those who've already received the Lord, will the call for them to stand up include, some like confession?
Yeah.
Beyond just initial salvation.
Yeah.
Receive the Lord, but need obviously.
They need to pray. Yeah, we hope that after the morning meeting on Saturday, that every one of them will want to pray with someone. And the reason why is there's probably more light, more realization, and the sense of need too. But I think when we give the call, when we give the message and we give the call, that if you have already prayed in a definite way to receive the Lord, that we're not asking you to get saved again and that you need to get saved again, but you may want to pray with someone. And so for that, please, you can respond. And then when we give the cards to the serving ones, the first question on the card, have you ever prayed to receive the Lord in a definite way before? When was that? Something like that. So that you can find out right away from them if they have, you know, in the last year or last couple of years, they prayed with their mom or their dad or somebody to receive the Lord. Then that helps you understand that maybe what they need is not that kind of help. But then what was it? I think the next question, what was it that touched you in the meeting that made you want to respond? And so then you give them a chance to open up a little bit. Then when you pray with them, I'd like to strengthen this point. It's good to lead them. Follow me. Repeat after me. So that you could lead them to pray, because they don't know how to put into words what they're feeling. That's why you want to draw out some of their feeling so that you can give them utterances short and they could repeat after you. And then I think it's something like that, right? The card. And then, of course, you write down, then there's comments where you write your feeling about the time, whether this person really touched the Lord, there were tears, you know, whatever. But that's always a little tricky if they've already prayed to receive the Lord before, because we don't want to give them the impression that they need to get saved again just because they're convicted. But we do want to help them to pray. Would like to pray with them. I hope that, is that okay? Yeah.
I was just wondering if they all stand up at once, and you know the comment about wanting to respond to them quickly as they're standing up.
Yeah.
Do we have them just wait and just take one out and have them wait?
Yeah, we'll have normally in this conference we may have maybe 150 sixth graders. And then we may have 80 or more serving ones or trainees. So there's almost a 2-to-1 ratio or better. And so there's a good number that may not need someone to pray with them. And then there's enough you know, it should go very quickly to take care of them. We've done this a few times, and some have to stand for a little while, but usually we get to them pretty fast. So right away, the first wave goes out, and then others are waiting, and then we'll come back and get them. So when you're finished with the first one, you'll come back and look to see if there's any others you could help take care of.
And by knowing your sixth graders, you may know which one you should take first, right? And which ones you know could remain a little bit longer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's some localities that'll have one serving one and maybe four or five. And there's other localities that have two young people and two serving ones. So they're just like one-to-one. So they may come back, and you still see three or four brothers standing there from a locality that needs some care. So brothers take care of brothers, sisters, yeah. We have CDs that we make available after the conference. Yeah, to sell to the young people. I think it's like $5 or $10, something like that. Yeah. And it's all the messages and singing. Yeah, Peggy.
Just to clarify, are we filling out these cards with them or after? Like
with them.
With them.
Yeah, you ask them. You have the card. You have a card with you when you go out, and you're filling it out. Then after you're done, you know, the two questions. You're filling it out with them, and then when they're done, you fill in the rest and, you know, the comments. Go ahead, Keith.
Could you please help shed the light for me? I have a 12th grader.
Yes.
Why? At this age?
I can think Do of we have few, this kind of...
No, I can think of a few reasons why, but may I hear from you why the 6th graders, why 12 years of age? It's so critical. I wish to see it happen for my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the main reason behind it? 12 years old, 6th graders.
Wow.
She probably doesn't even apply to her, like, to be saved, like, dead in sins and... She knows she's sinful, but, you know, and also without hope in the world. I mean, that sounds very scary, I would think.
Yeah, it is.
She's ready. Like, she want to be saved right away. I mean, you know, I don't know.
We want them to hear. We want it to go in and get into them. So their hearing the gospel message is very, very crucial. Some of them, after Friday night, we had some... They said, have you ever prayed to receive the Lord? And they said, yes, last night after the meeting. Because, I mean, they're just, you know, some of them are quite eager. But anyway, they need to go through the process, you know, as Craig was describing it. It's right. Some have prayed. You know, think about it. For us, the day you believed in the Lord, the day you prayed to receive the Lord, was the day you knew the least about salvation. And it was only after that that you began to understand what happened to you and what the effect was and what the significance was. And it's the same with them. They may have prayed a year ago or 6 months ago with their parents, but this is just another opportunity to give them a fresh realization and to intensify the significance within them of what took place. So I don't know if this is, and I'm going to get to your question in a minute, but if that answers your question, a lot of them are just like Craig said, they're just ready. They're really ready. And so you don't need to give them such a strong message, but they need to hear that strong message. Yeah. Now, why 12 years old? You know, we started this, I think the first one was 1992, as Craig mentioned. And the thought behind that was that before they went to middle school, we wanted them to have a definite experience of salvation. A lot of children that grow up in Christian homes and in the church life, they kind of fade into the Christian life, and there was not a definite day, a definite point that they could point to where they believed. And we wanted them to have that experience, and we wanted it before they went to junior high. Because once they get into junior high, a lot of things come in. And we were hoping to get in ahead of that to have this kind of touch with the Lord. So it was not, you know, I know in the Jewish religion and maybe in Catholicism, there is this confirmation and usually, you know, some kind of age of accountability kind of thing. Yeah. Where, you know, a boy becomes a man. And we didn't have that kind of a thought. At least I didn't. But it's a good age because they're old enough to understand. They're old enough to pray their own prayers. And anywhere, you know, as parents, we should never restrict them or prevent them from believing and being saved. Even at 7 years old or 8 years old, if they want to get saved, don't say, oh, no, you can't. Not until the sixth grade conference. You don't do that because we never would prevent them. But on the other hand, before they get too old, we want to lead them to have a definite experience. And we feel this conference brings in an atmosphere and impact to their to this experience that you can't have otherwise. Yeah.
I've been around for a little while.
Yeah, maybe longer than me.
No, before 1992, there is a difference between the way before 92, our young people get saved in the fourth and fifth grade class and this, that. There was no sixth grade view of salvation like we do today. And so they got saved all along the way, but there was never a definite, public declaration on their part. And then there wasn't even a public baptism in a sense. They got baptized in the tub. They got baptized in the swimming pools. I mean, there was nothing structured. Today, our children and children's meetings. I'm sorry. Today, our children from second grade, first grade, they sit around the baptistry and they watch the sixth graders getting baptized with the whole church, and they say, next year it's going to be me. You know. You know, in other words, there is somebody has said, "Oh, kind of herd mentality." No. I prefer to look at it as a farmer who scientifically sows seed and at a particular time and then reaps it at a particular time. In other words, it's a matter of life.
Yeah.
And yes, they may have my oldest son received the Lord when he was 2.5 years old. He doesn't remember it, but I do. But anyway, but he then got baptized when he was 15. So anyway, but so all of these children have a different time when they get regenerated. But really, this weekend gets them saved.
Yeah,
it's a difference.
Yeah,
it's there is a difference, a choice on their part to to cross over.
Yeah.
You know, and to have a public testimony.
Amen.
Of their believing. Not only in their heart, but with their mouth.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a very strong help to their salvation experience.
Yeah. Amen. You know, we'd like to take a little break. But before we do that, I just want to tell you one more thing that we're doing. And I need to pass some of these out. We do a survey in all the churches that are sending young people beforehand to find out if the children that you're bringing have already had a definite experience of salvation so that we can track them through the weekend. Then when we get the cards back from you, we can check them off. And this way we make sure that not one of them gets to the conference without having a definite experience. We've tried to be much more thorough. So we sent out an email to all the churches requesting this to gather this information. The information is really, if you know for sure that someone has believed, you put saved, you know, or not, you know for sure they're not. Or if you don't know, then just put down unsure. Then when we get there, we can confirm or not. Okay, we'll come back at 5 or 10 after.